Hi, I'm Charles Morris, and I want to welcome you to Great Stories, a weekly Haven Today podcast where we take the best interviews featured on our daily radio program and share them with you in their entirety so you can enjoy the full All About Jesus conversation. New interviews drop each Wednesday, and so you don't miss an episode, I want to encourage you to hit subscribe or sign up for our newsletter at haventoday.org. I also want to encourage you to rate the podcast and leave us a review. This goes a long way in helping us reach others with this great story, the story that's all about Jesus. Today, we're returning to a conversation I had with Oxford Don Dr. Alistair McGrath back in 2013. It was the 50th anniversary of the death of C.S. Lewis. And so I called Dr. McGrath because he's written one of the most comprehensive biographies on the life of Lewis. He read everything Lewis ever wrote in an attempt to fully understand one of the most influential Christians of the 20th century. And so I hope you find this conversation will help you more deeply come to know C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, and his heart for Christ. Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, and this is a special anniversary. On the day that John F. Kennedy died, people in the United States and Canada didn't really realize that someone else, some other significant person, had died as well. His name was C.S. Lewis. And on this 50th anniversary after his death, Dr. Alistair McGrath has written a new biography called C.S. Lewis, A Life. Eccentric genius, reluctant prophet, and I want to welcome from Oxford, England, for the very first time to the program, Dr. Alistair McGrath. Alistair, thank you for joining me today.
Charles, it's my pleasure.
I think we know now more about C.S. Lewis than we did a few years ago. We've had some movies come out on the Chronicles of Narnia. His popularity has just continued to increase in the U.S. He may not be so popular in England still today, but why don't you tell us who was C.S. Lewis? And for the few people that are listening to our program that have never heard of him, just kind of give us the narrative of his life.
Well, C.S. Lewis, I think, is one of the greatest literary figures of the 20th century. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. The books sell very well. But, of course, the movies have opened Lewis up to a new generation. And Lewis began as an atheist. I think it's one of the most interesting things about him. People tend to forget that this guy who we remember as a great writer, a great Christian apologist, really began as someone who didn't like God at all. Lewis grew up and reacted against God. He fought in the First World War and said, "Where's God in the midst of all this suffering?" And then he went up to Oxford, and at Oxford he began to think things through all over again and began to realize that the case for God was compelling. And so Lewis became, in his own words, the most reluctant convert in all England. So he's a fascinating guy, and I think it's right we remember him on the 50th anniversary of his death.
That's really it in a nutshell, of course, but let's drill a little bit deeper into his background. He actually fought in World War I. He was in the trenches. But it's been said that the death of his mother back in Ireland affected him more than fighting in the Great War of World War I. What do you think?
I think the death of Lewis's mother in August 1908 really shattered the security of his life. And we need to remember that Lewis wasn't even 10 years old at the time. And his mother was the basis of the family life. She was the one who held everything together. And when his mother died so slowly and painfully from cancer, Lewis really felt his life had just fallen to bits. And in some ways, you know, the trauma Lewis experienced in the First World War a decade later, I think it was less than this terrible experience he had of his mother's death when he was so young.
Alistair, there is this term reluctant prophet, which you use in referring to him. He really wasn't a Christian. He was an atheist, as I recall. And just tell us a little bit more about how he became a believer in Christ in an environment where there weren't many believers, Oxford University.
Well, Oxford during the 1920s was quite hostile to Christianity, and Lewis really began to demonstrate. He was incredibly intelligent and a very able scholar indeed. But although Lewis went up to Oxford in 1919 as an atheist, he began to realise that he hadn't sorted everything out, and he began to reflect and reconsider. And by the mid-1920s, Lewis was clearly beginning to realise that things weren't quite as straightforward as he thought. And we find Lewis, in effect, having this decisive conversion experience, maybe in 1929, I think in 1930, where basically he realized that he could no longer deny the existence of God, and he embraced God in a moment of decision, which really was a complete turning point in his life. And I think that's very important, because we need to remember that Lewis is a great Christian apologist. And in many ways, one of the reasons that he's such a good apologist is that he used to be an atheist. He knew what atheists think, and he was able to refute the own arguments he used to defend his own atheism. So I think he's a remarkable case of somebody whose conversion set up his career as a Christian apologist.
Mm. We should talk about his friendship with Tolkien of Lord of the Rings fame. Tolkien was older. Tolkien was a believer, was a Christian, and had a tremendous impact, didn't he, on Lewis coming to faith in Christ.
Well, J.R.R. Tolkien became one of Lewis's closest friends. They first met in 1925, and they began to realize they had interests in common. But Lewis was suspicious of Tolkien. Tolkien was a Christian. Lewis was not. And the two men began to talk about Christian things. And actually, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that Tolkien may have been the person who moved Lewis from simply believing in God to believing in Christianity. And I think Tolkien, in many ways, has to be singled out as a person who had a decisive influence on Lewis's spiritual growth. And of course, Lewis helped Tolkien as well. Lewis began to read some of the stuff that Tolkien was writing, which we now know as The Lord of the Rings, and said, "This is great stuff. You need to keep going with this. You need to publish this." And the result was that masterpiece that we remember as The Lord of the Rings.
Do we have any other evidence? I know you quote letters in your new biography that really haven't been out there before, but Lewis himself gave us a little glimpse in his own writing of when he did meet Jesus, didn't he?
Yes, he does. In his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, he talks about being driven to Whipsnade Zoo. And when he began the journey, he didn't really think Jesus was the Son of God. When he ended the journey, he did. And Lewis says, "Look, I can't quite work out what happened, but it's as if things fell into place." And Lewis began to realize that the Christian way of looking at things made perfect sense, that this was the way in which he could look at the world and make sense of it, and also make sense of himself. And so in many ways, Lewis began to realize that Christianity was something that really helped him to figure out what the world was all about, what his own life was all about, and all the pieces began to fall together, really, in that journey from Oxford to Whipsnade Zoo.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Dr. Alistair McGrath. He has a new biography out here on the 50th anniversary of the death of C.S. Lewis, and that's the title of the book, A Life, Eccentric Genius, Reluctant Prophet. I guess I'm looking at today, and even though Lewis has been gone for 50 years, he started writing Screwtape Letters in the 40s. He wrote Mere Christianity coming out of conversations on the BBC in World War II. Do you think he's just as relevant today as when he first wrote and spoke?
I think Lewis speaks very powerfully to us today. He says some very good things, but he also says them very well. And for me, Lewis really retains so much of his power. And that's partly because Lewis is really very good, but I think it's also partly because there's nobody really who's emerged to take Lewis's place. So I think that Lewis is good for a number of reasons. I think one point to make particularly, I think, is that Lewis is very good at showing how Christianity engages with the imagination. Yes, Christianity makes sense of things, it appeals to the reason, but Lewis is able to show, particularly through the Chronicles of Narnia, how the Christian way of looking at things captivates the imagination. It makes you say, my goodness, that is so exciting. And Lewis, I think, does that far better than many more recent writers. So I very much hope that one day someone will come along who's better than Lewis. But for the moment, we've got Lewis, and I'm very happy about that.
Mm. You know, I don't want to spend all our time just praising a human being here. While he was brilliant, while he was an Oxford Don at the end of his life, he was a Cambridge professor for a couple of years. He didn't have an easy life, did he? And he didn't marry till late in life. You want to just kind of fill us in on the Kilns and his brother, and he had a housekeeper, but then he meets Joy. Just go ahead and fill us in on that side of his life.
Well, Lewis wasn't just a writer. He was a human being who had friends, who had relationships, and who, of course, had family. And with the death of his mother, I think it's fair to say his brother, Warren, really became very, very important to him. And in the 1930s, Lewis managed to arrange for his brother to join him at Lewis's home in Oxford. So in effect, they recreated the old family in Lewis's home. Mm. And at that time, Lewis was living with Mrs. Moore. Now, Mrs. Moore is a complicated figure. We don't really understand that relationship between Lewis and Mrs. Moore, but she was the mother of one of Lewis's closest friends who was killed in the First World War. And later in life, Lewis began to develop other relationships. And the most important of these, of course, is Joy Davidman, who he eventually married. And Lewis, I think, really didn't have any aspirations to get married, but actually fell in love with Joy Davidman. And I think he fell in love especially with Joy Davidman when it became clear that she had developed cancer. Mm. And you know, it may be there's a throwback here to his mother dying from cancer in 1908. It may be that realizing he was going to lose Joy through cancer made Lewis love her all the more. So certainly that's a very significant relationship in the later Lewis's life, in the late 1950s. And there's no doubt that Joy's death from cancer in 1960 devastated Lewis and actually led to him writing to what I think is one of his best books. It's a book called A Grief Observed that appeared in 1961.
It is true. The man was certainly human. And there was another side. I remember being at his church once, and someone who was there at the time when he was alive told me that he and his brother Warren were quite shy, and he was becoming more famous. He didn't want the attention he was receiving, and so they would slip out before the final prayer for fear that some brash American would be wanting to come up to them and ask for an autograph or something. What was he really like as a human being?
Well, he was slightly shy, not with his friends. He was a brash, he was a jovial figure with people he knew well. But with outsiders, Lewis did come across as being slightly withdrawn, even shy. And certainly that experience at church, which you've mentioned, which is well backed up by evidence, you know, illustrates that very well. Lewis was slightly withdrawn with people who he didn't know. And he was also reluctant about fame. I think that Lewis was taken by surprise by the extent to which his books were read and valued, and he found it a little bit difficult to cope with the fame. And I think one of the things I see in some of Lewis's letters is this feeling, look, I'm becoming famous, I'm becoming important, I can't cope with this, it's going to damage me as a person. I think that's an important insight. Lewis was realizing that fame casts a shadow over people, and sometimes they can't actually cope with their celebrity status. And actually, I think Lewis coped quite well with it, whereas some of those who've also experienced fame, I think, have been, you know, torn apart by it.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Haven Today, and we're on with Dr. Alistair McGrath. He's coming to us from Oxford, England. And thank you so much for joining us on the program. And Alistair, let's talk about the war, World War II. Here was Churchill. I was just reading a new biography that came out on Churchill, the William Manchester final volume. And Churchill was not a religious man. And yet he saw the value of religion and knew that the people needed their Christian faith in England to get them through the war. Lewis took it even another step forward, though, because he was a believer in Christ. Talk to me a little bit about his writing and how he encouraged people in their faith in the war.
Well, the Second World War in England was very, very difficult. For a start, for several years, Britain was struggling on its own, and people began to think maybe we're going to lose this war. So there was a sense of deep anxiety, and Churchill certainly realized that. And the BBC asked Lewis to be, in effect, the voice of faith for the nation, to speak on issues of faith. And Lewis actually rose to that challenge very, very well. He had a beautiful speaking voice. He was able to communicate very, very effectively. And he reassured people. He unpacked Christianity and showed its relevance during those dark days of the war. And certainly, I think Lewis began to emerge as one of the best known voices in England. He explained what Christianity was. He showed why it mattered. He made connections with life. And certainly, Lewis was one of those people who helped England to keep going during those very dark years at the beginning of the Second World War.
And of course, we know those lectures, those talks on the BBC went on to become the book Mere Christianity. And the Lord has used that book in a lot of lives of a lot of people to lead them to faith, hasn't he?
Yes, indeed. I mean, the Mere Christianity, I think, is one of Lewis's best books. And as you rightly said, it's basically a revision, a very light revision of those wartime talks. And, you know, maybe things have changed a bit, but the power of that book remains. When you read Mere Christianity, you begin to realize something of both Lewis's ability to explain things, to captivate the imagination of his audience, but also, of course, and maybe more importantly, the immense riches of the Christian faith itself. And it's no wonder that book has sold so well and indeed still remains one of the books that most Christians regard as the best expression of the Christian faith.
Alistair, let's talk about the Chronicles of Narnia. These are those seven fantasy novels that they've started appearing on the big screen the last few years, movies being made. This was a way, wasn't it, for Lewis to share his faith in Christ?
Absolutely. He realized that you could tell the Christian story in a way that captivated people's imaginations. And in many ways, Aslan, the central character of Narnia, is a brilliant portrayal of Jesus Christ in a way that opens up some very exciting ways of thinking about him. And certainly I know many people who've been drawn into the Christian faith by reading Narnia and thinking there's something really exciting here just beneath the surface. We need to take this further.
Tell me about Aslan.
Well, Aslan is the great and noble Lion of Narnia, and he's presented in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as a mysterious figure who gradually becomes known, who enchants, who enthralls, who excites, who really is able to change the worlds of those who encounter him. And I think it's one of the best literary representations of Christ there is. I remember having lunch with a friend a few months back, and his little girl, who's about 6 years old, she came in, and my friend said, "Oh, this is Professor McGrath. He's writing a book about C.S. Lewis." And she said to me, "Well, Professor McGrath, when you next meet C.S. Lewis, please tell him I love Aslan. He's just wonderful." And I thought, isn't that great? So when I get to heaven, I know what I'm going to be doing.
And Lewis himself, it's pretty clear from his correspondence to people and kids even in the U.S. that Aslan was the Christ figure in the whole series.
Absolutely. It's very, very clear that that's what Lewis meant. And there are many who think, oh, you know, Aslan's very special. And then people begin to realize actually he's special in a special way. And they begin to make the connection between Aslan and the figure of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think Lewis does it very, very well for those who are perhaps alienated from the church, but not from Jesus. You know, Aslan can be a way of reconnecting with the Christian faith. I think Lewis opens up some wonderful possibilities here.
Let me throw another word into the conversation, and I want to do this carefully because some people may not hear all of our conversation. There is this term myth. You're an Oxford professor yourself. Lewis used the term of myth, but he didn't mean fiction, did he?
No, Lewis does not use the word myth to mean something we invent or something we make up. He uses the word in a technical sense, and we need to make sure we understand what that means. When Lewis talks about a myth, what he means is a big story, a story that captivates our imagination and at the same time imparts information. It's something that engages the imagination and at the same time tells us deep truths about the way things are. So Lewis is saying Christianity is more than a set of ideas. It's about the big story, about the universe, about us. And Lewis is really saying, realize Christianity is telling a story. It's not just setting out beliefs of the creed that we're meant to assent to.
Dr. McGrath, what do we learn from Lewis and his faith? After he was married, after he lost his wife, he was in the process of dying himself at the same time. What does that have to say to all of us, especially people listening to our program today who are trying to understand sorrow? Maybe they're going through grief.
I think Lewis found that one of the best ways of coping with grief was to write down what he was feeling. And indeed, his book, A Grief Observed, is a very raw account of what he was experiencing and what he was thinking at the time. And Lewis realized that, you know, discovering what God was doing in all this took time, that it wasn't something that really seemed to present itself to him immediately. He needed time to reflect. And Lewis kept his faith. Lewis deepened his faith. But the point is, he realized that shallow versions of the Christian faith were challenged by suffering. They had to be deeply rooted in a living and loving God, and especially focused on the sufferings of Christ on the cross. And Lewis, I think, reminds us that the Christian faith is able to help us to cope with suffering ourselves and the experience of suffering in others that we love. But we need to be aware that glib and simple answers don't often satisfy the deepest concerns we have. And in many ways, what Lewis was saying is there is real depth to the Christian faith. And when we go through suffering, it takes a while for us to appreciate just how rich and helpful the Christian faith is.
Still on the line with us from Oxford, England, Dr. Alistair McGrath, who is a pastor himself in the Church of England. Alistair, would you mind leading us in prayer that maybe something in the life of Lewis the Lord would use to speak to those of us listening?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the richness of the gospel and for people like C.S. Lewis who help us understand it and live it out. And Lord, we just pray that you would make the Christian faith real to each of us, excite us to discover more about it, and help us to explain it and defend it to our friends and neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. November 22nd, 1963. The death of C.S. Lewis, and we're talking with Alistair McGrath in Oxford, England. Alistair, thank you so much for joining me here in the program today.
Charles, it's been a very great pleasure, and it's a great joy to talk about Lewis.
Thank you for joining me on Great Stories with me, Charles Morris, and I pray this special conversation that we had with Dr. Alistair McGrath helped you better understand C.S. Lewis and his love for Christ. I know it did for me. Remember to make sure you get each new episode featuring our best interviews from Haven Today. Remember to hit subscribe or visit us at our website, haventoday.org. Links are in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this conversation, why don't you rate our podcast and leave us a review? However you plan to stay connected, I hope you'll join us next time, where again we'll be sharing the great story. It's all about Jesus on Great Stories with Charles Morris.